Now God breaks through. And God breaks through on this man in his weak place, by the way. And that weak place is just where we've left off, the inadequacy. God is so great. The mark of a good teacher, and we've said the Lord Jesus was the greatest teacher, and God is a teacher. He's teaching Job here, and he teaches us today. The Lord Jesus is the one that wants to teach us. And one of the marks of a great teacher is a great teacher will begin where his students are, and he will move up to where he wants to bring them. That's the mark of a good teacher. Have you ever noticed, and we'll see it here first of all, God begins right where they left off, in nature, storm coming up. God breaks in as the Creator. He begins there. He's going to bring this man where he wants to bring him to. Then the Lord Jesus always did that. I think the parables of the Lord Jesus, he never made up one of them. He just reached out yonder in the lives of the people of that day, and behold, a sower went forth to sow. While on 1,000 hills in that land, you could have seen a sower sowing the grain. He began where they were. And the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal. That had been seen time and time again. Our Lord began where they were, and he brought them to where he wanted them. And Paul was that kind of a teacher. That's the reason some people misunderstand the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That has to do with the tongues there. Paul is beginning in that chapter with them where they were. They'd gone off on that. Now Paul is leading them away from that to a higher plane, that they are to come up where they should be today, manifesting the body of Christ. So that you'll find all the way through the Word of God that here is the greatest teaching of all. We always begin where people are. And I used to, when I'd go from city to city in speaking, and I don't do this today because I'm a little better known, but in those early days, I always bought a paper. And if I could buy it for 2 or 3 days before I began a conference, I'd find out what the local situation was. Well, if they were having a mayor's race, or there had been some sort of a scandal, or if some famous person was there, I always would like to start with a casual reference. Try to be humorous, for instance, and something very light to begin with. Why? To begin where they live. That is something that you get from the Word of God. Now notice, when God breaks in, we've come to the great part of this, and believe me, if I felt totally inadequate up to this point, I don't know what to say now. I feel like just keeping quiet and closing the Bible and going off the air, but we can't do that. So let me just read what God says and make a few comments as we go along. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, that's out of the storm, you see, that now has broken upon him. And God is speaking to him as the Creator. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And now this is the second time, and God's going to come back to it, by the way. And we'll find that Job will finally be willing to say that he was uttering words without knowledge. That, my friend, is an awful sin. And I think today that we are having these talk programs on TV that they're not only committing an awful sin, but most of them are the most asinine that are imaginable. And they accomplish practically nothing at all. But they make for entertainment for some lightheaded folk, apparently. Now, may I say to you that God says, who is this that's darkening counsel by words? Words without knowledge. It's just like taking a bunch of words out of the dictionary. And we find that a great many people do that. A man said he always liked the dictionary because the stories were so short in it. Well, A great many people just pull out a few words and attempt to put them together. And whether they make sense or not is not maybe important to some, but the fact that they're big words. And my, they say, can't he use big words? Now, verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Now he begins with creation. Here is the verse that I've always wanted to put in the front of every geology book, but they won't let me do it. But I'd like to put it in every book, whether it's written by a Christian or non-Christian, makes no difference. Put it in the geology book. Listen to this. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? And that's a good question. What is it that holds these universes in space? And they're not standing still. That's the amazing thing about it. You and I are on a little earth that is probably as unstable as anything can be. And I'm not talking about earthquakes. I mean, there's nothing under it holding it up. But I don't know which is under, as far as the universe is concerned, and which is top, which is bottom. And why doesn't it start going in some direction? And why does it just go around and round? And what keeps it going round and round, apparently been doing it for millions of years? The question is, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And when I read about the geologist, I was with one up in northern Arizona. He took me up to a ridge. I just thought it was a ridge of sand there. Couldn't understand why the sand had piled up there. He kicked away the sand, and you know what was there? It was a petrified log. And I said to him, my, where'd this come from? He said, California. Well, I said, who hauled it in here? He says, it floated in here. And if you want to look at that Arizona desert, I can't imagine that there was ever any water there to float anything. But that's what happened. That log floated in from California. And there it is. The other day, a petrified log. I said, when did that happen? Well, he said he thought probably 250,000 years ago. And he said it like he was there when the log arrived. May I say to you that he may be right. I'm not contradicting, not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that there are a lot of folk today that seem to know what took place millions and millions of years ago. God says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Now, do you know where you were when God laid the foundation of the earth? Where did you come from? Now, verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now, in that day, man knew God as creator. You must understand that the book of Job apparently comes from the period before any word of Scripture was written, so that actually God begins with him where he began with man at that particular time. And Paul stated that in the first chapter of Romans. He says in verse 19 of the first chapter, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, the thing that is all important for us to see here is that God was speaking to man in that day through creation. Now, that's the reason that you have this section here, and God's beginning with them where they were. And they were close enough to creation in that day that there was no atheism. There was polytheism. They actually worshiped the creature rather than the creator, as Paul continued to say in that first chapter of Romans. Now, he could refer to creation, and that would be on the basis and the ground that these people lived on. Now, I'm not going to attempt to develop this section here. It has to do with creation, has to do with this physical universe that you and I live in today, and it speaks of God. It speaks of the fact that, as Paul says in Romans, tells two things about God, the person of God and the power of God and the wisdom of God. Creation reveals that, and it reveals the greatness of our God, how great thou art. And when you read this section, that is the impression that you're bound to get as he speaks of the fact that he is the Creator and that he knows something man does not know. In verse 22, there's a very interesting statement made. It says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Now, there are some very fantastic interpretations that are drawn from this of how the snow and the hail will be used in warfare. And I know it was what defeated Napoleon, but I'm not about to get out on a limb again today. You'll recall that some time ago that there was a little pamphlet put out about a computer that was used in the space program and located a day that was lost. And I referred to it on the radio program. And believe me, friends, I certainly heard from that one, because actually that's been traced down. It's not accurate at all, of course. And that's the danger of attempting to draw out of these wonderful passages of Scripture some fantastic interpretation. The Bible is recording miracles. And the whole point God is making here to Job is, this is what I've done, Job, but you can't understand it. And men today cannot enter into these things. Only God knows these things. Now he says in verse 23, "Which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war." So that snow and hail, and I know that I'll hear from some folk that will inform me about it, how it's going to be used, and that'll be all right. I'll be glad to hear from you. But that's already been put through my mill a long time ago, and I've passed it by because I think there's something here we don't know, friends. That's the point that God is making with Job. And he goes on to talk to him about the starry heavens. And in verse 31, "Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Out yonder in the heavens, these tremendous stars." Now, I do not know how much the ancients knew of them. Apparently, they knew a great deal more than we've given them credit for. It's my understanding that the Egyptians knew the distance to the sun. And they actually were a little bit more accurate than we are today in our measurements. And therefore, they must have had a great knowledge. And now, God goes on in this vein that he's the Creator. And have you really known God through his creation? And I think he's making it clear to Job that the creation reveals his greatness, but you can't know God. You can know something about him, but you'll not come to know him in this way.